Good morning. Today we continue the series on the fourth servant song recorded for us in Isaiah 52 verse 13 to Isaiah 53 verse 12. Today we will look at Isaiah 53 verse 4, which reads, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." The fourth servant song has as its subject the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus' death about 700 years before the crucifixion took place. When Isaiah wrote, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," he was talking about griefs and sorrows that are brought on by sin. It is in the nature of sin that it will initially or eventually bring griefs and sorrows. And even if the sinner does not experience griefs and sorrows in this life, make no mistake, the sinner will experience griefs and sorrows in eternity. That is why Proverbs 13:15 warns, "The way of the transgressor is hard." That is why the Puritan theologian Thomas Watson said, "A man can no more extract blessedness out of sin than he can suck health out of poison." Though Jesus does have compassion and understanding for all the pains that human beings experience, that is not the main thrust of Isaiah 53 verse 4. The main thrust of the verse is that Christ took our sin and all its effects on himself, though he himself was perfectly innocent of any wrongdoing. The word translated "born" is the Hebrew word nasa, N-A-S-A, roughly transliterated, which literally means to lift up or take up. All our griefs and sorrows caused by sin were laid on Christ, and he took them up with him to the cross. In that sense, he bore our sins and sorrows as he hung on the cross. Christ, as the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, has taken on himself the full burden of his people's sin and guilt, with all its consequences, up to and including the wages of sin. Indeed, the emphasis of verses 4 down to 6 of Isaiah 53 is on the plural pronouns. Hence we read of our griefs and sorrows, our iniquities, our transgressions. We have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. In other words, Christ did not die because of anything he had done, but because of what we had done. The second part of verse 4 says, "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." The verse is saying that in the mind of the Israelites, Christ was unfit to be the Messiah they had longed for. The verse is saying that the Israelites initially thought Jesus got what he deserved. Some of the charges leveled at Jesus as he walked on the earth was that he cast out demons out of people by the power given to him by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. The Pharisees said of Jesus, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." When Jesus healed a paralytic and told him that his sins were forgiven, the Pharisees accused Christ of blasphemy. Jesus was accused of being a sinner when he healed a blind man in John chapter 9. So in the minds of the Israelites, Jesus merited being smitten by God. The news that Jesus was smitten by God was initially a source of joy to the Israelites. In their minds, Jesus received the karma he deserved. It was a commonly believed thing in the ancient Near East world that the gods would heavily afflict persons who had committed enormous sins. That Jesus endured heavy afflictions were deemed to be indications of God's displeasure because of some enormous sin on Jesus' part. What a shocking indignity this was that the Israelites should not merely regard Christ as a sinner, but as the most atrocious sinner in the universe who deserved to have a murderer preferred before him. In this second part of verse 4, Isaiah shows how great was the ingratitude and wickedness of the people who did not know why Christ was so severely afflicted, but imagined that God smote him on account of his own sins, though they knew that he was perfectly innocent. When Jesus walked the earth, no evidence could be marshaled that he had ever committed a sin. Pilate, having examined Jesus, reported back to an unruly mob and said, "I find no fault in him." Yet Christ at the cross suffered when the wrath of God was poured out on him, the just for the unjust, the holy, spotless Son of God for the unrighteous, sin-loving, fallen, depraved humanity. Christ was indeed stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted by God. Verse 4 is teaching us that Christ bore what he did not have to bear, in order that we might not bear what we otherwise would have to bear. Christ bore the wrath of God willingly, so that we would not have to bear that wrath at all. Christ died as a substitute and sin bearer for his people, shouldering their guilt and taking the punishment that was due them. That is why the hymn writer declared, "He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone." And then he says in the chorus, "How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." Isaiah in verse 4 is implicitly deploring the dullness of his own nation because they thought that God was the deadly enemy of Christ. Isaiah is also indicting the Israelites' failure to come to terms with their own sins, which would indeed be atoned for in the death of Christ the Messiah. Isaiah 53:4 is a confession. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." This is Israel acknowledging that they got it wrong concerning Christ. Verse 4 is an acknowledgement and confession by Israel that they sinned against God and Christ. God is today inviting you to confess, as the Israelite nation did in Isaiah 53:4, that Christ has indeed borne your sins and its resultant griefs and sorrows. God is today inviting non-Christians to confess that you got it wrong concerning Christ. Allow me to say a few things about biblical confession. To confess is to own up to wrongdoing. To confess is to agree with God concerning your sinful condition. To confess is to acknowledge your own fitness for the wrath of God to be poured out on you. To confess is not merely to acknowledge one's sinfulness, but throw oneself at God for his mercy and saving grace to be applied to you. To confess is to repent of your sins. To confess is to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 has Israel acknowledging that more than ever they need Christ. Verse 4 represents an about face on the part of Israel. You, my non-Christian friend, need to do an about face concerning Jesus. You, my friend, might have had the wrong ideas concerning Christ, and hence you disregarded him. But now, more than ever, it is good to acknowledge your utter need of him for salvation from your sins and for daily living. It is time for you, my non-Christian friend, to acknowledge the biblical truth about Jesus and stop denying him and neglecting him. It is time for you, my non-Christian friend, to surrender to Christ who identifies with your sorrows. It is time for you, my non-Christian friend, to surrender to Christ who identifies with your griefs. It is time for you, my non-Christian friend, to surrender to the Christ who paid the price for your sins on the cross. Until next week, may Christ bless you greatly.